Welcome back to Faded Tales, the podcast where we dive into the stories of our planet's most endangered creatures. I'm Zoya, your guide through the wild, the wonderful, and sometimes the heart-wrenching world of conservation. Today we are setting sail on a journey to meet the largest animal to ever grace the earth, the blue whale. These giants are awe-inspiring, not just for their size, but for the mysteries they carry within the vast blue who they call home. Let's dive in and uncover their stories. Let's picture this with the sound of the blue whale behind us. Let's picture it. Picture a creature as long as 3 school buses, weighing as much as 33 elephants. 33 elephants, can you believe that? The blue whale can grow up to 100 feet in length and weigh over 200 tons. Its heart alone can weigh as much as a small car, pumping 60 gallons of blood within every beat. And yet, with all its grandeur, they survive on one of the smallest creatures in the ocean, krill. A blue whale can consume about 4 tons of krill a day. During feeding seasons, imagine like eating your body weight in food every single day. Like, I can barely do that. Like, I don't like eat that much. Like, seriously, like 4 tons, oh my god. Blue whales are found in oceans all over the world, migrating thousands of miles each year, where they were once abundant, roaming around the seas in numbers upwards to 200,000. But that was before the whaling industry wreaked havoc on their entire population. Let's take a deeper dive into the ocean of the remarkable life of the blue whale. When we think of the ocean's giants, the blue whale stands unmatched. To appreciate its size, scale, consider this. The tongue of the blue whale can weigh as much as up to an elephant. Its tongue, just its tongue alone. Its sheer size makes it the largest animal to have ever existed on Earth, dwarfing even the mighty dinosaurs. Yet, despite its massive frame, it is an agile swimmer, capable of reaching up speeds of 30 miles per hour in short bursts when threatened. Their feeding strategy is equally fascinating. Blue whales are baleen whales, meaning they have a filter feeder. By taking in massive gulps of water and using the baleen plates in its mouth to sieve out the krill. During peak feeding seasons, usually in the summer months mostly, the feeding frenzy is crucial for storing energy. Like, as they migrate to warmer waters during the winter to breed and give birth. The migration of the whales is one of the longest journeys undertaken by any animal. These giants traverse thousands of miles from nutrient-rich polar waters where they feed to the warmer, calmer waters of the tropics where they reproduce. This journey is not just about finding food or mates, but it's also a legacy passed down for generations. As calves, the baby whale, also, which are baby whales if you didn't know, follow their mothers along these ancient routes. And I'm going to stop this call right here. I'm just going to I'm going to turn it up a little bit and like let you listen to it for a little bit. This song I'm playing is the blue whale. It is called its scientific name, the musculus. This is the blue whale's call. I'm gonna turn it down now. I wanted you guys to listen to that and see how like amazing they sound, because did you know that these like the way that they communicate is one of the loudest sounds in the animal kingdom, like by far. It's like one of the largest, loudest. It's, their calls can reach up to 188 decibels and can travel hundreds of miles on the water. These deep resonant songs are not just beautiful, as you've heard, they're vital for navigation and communication, especially in the vast, dark expanses of the ocean. And the whales' calls are actually kind of funny, because like we hear so many random sounds in the ocean, and we think of like the worst, but you don't know it until you like actually do research about it. And we just found out that those sounds in the ocean that they heard up a while ago, that they were actually whale calls. So yeah, whatever you think is like mysterious and like weird in the ocean, you might be just be a whale or whatever animal communicating. And now that we've gotten into like the physical aspects of the whale, and I did briefly mention like it's like the human history of it, the whaling trade, but I'm gonna go into a little bit more deeper now. All right, the blue whale story is not just one of awe-inspiring biology, as I've said. It's also of human impact, because for centuries blue whales were largely safe from human interference due to their size and difficulty to hunt them with traditional tools. However, the advancement of industrial whaling in the late 19th century changed everything. Armed with steam-powered ships and explosive harpoons, whalers turned their sights on blue whales, whose massive body provided large quantities of oil, meat, and baleen. Between the 1930s and the 1960s, the blue whale population plummeted. At the height of commercial whaling, an estimated 99% of their population was wiped out. This relentless hunting pushed them to the brink of extinction. By the time the International Whaling Commission, or IWC, imposed a global ban on commercial whaling in 1966, blue whales have become one of the most endangered species on the planet. Imagine a world where one of the largest creatures would be silent forever. The loss of the blue whale would not just be a tragedy on biodiversity, but the ripple across marine ecosystems, the disrupting of delicate balance of life beneath the waves, it would be so tragic. There is a sign of hope, though. Today, blue whales are protected under various international agreements, including the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act. While their population remains critically low, estimations suggest that there are only 2,500 blue whales left. Conservation efforts have led to signs of recovery in areas where they were most absent. Blue whales have begun to return. It's a testament to the resilience of nature when given a chance. But the journey is far from over. Modern threats such as ship strikes, entanglement in fishing gear, and impacts of climate change, our friend climate change is back, continue to pose significant risks. The warming of the oceans affect the distribution of krill, the blue whale's primary food source, forcing these giants to adapt to a rapidly changing world. I want to get into what is their role in the ecosystem, because I briefly just talked about them in the ocean, but I'm going to get into it a little bit more. So beyond their size and beauty, blue whales play a crucial role in the health of marine ecosystems. As they feed on krill and defecate, which is, you guys know, you can research it, they release nutrients back into the water. This process, known as whale pump, fertilizes the ocean and promotes the growth of phytoplankton, which forms the foundation of the marine food web. Phytoplankton not only sustains countless of other marine species, but also absorbs vast amounts of carbon dioxide, helping regulate the Earth's climate. In saving the blue whale, we are not just protecting a species, we are safeguarding our entire ecosystem, our entire Earth. Their presence alone the ocean is a reminder of the interconnectedness of all life on Earth. Now, I did go into a little bit, I feel like I want to go into a little bit more, like, with the human connection between the blue whale. Yeah, let's go into the more. I only briefly talked about it. I want to go into a little bit more, guys. I want to go into a little bit more. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right? All right, here we go. So, in the 19th and early 20th century, whaling was a booming industry. Blue whales, prized for their oil and blubber, were hunted to the brink of extinction. By the mid-20th century, their numbers plummeted to nearly 90%, which is 99%, I would say. Talked about this already. So, the rapid decline of the blue whale's population was a direct result of the industrial whaling practices. In the pre-industrial era, whaling was a localized and small-scale activity. Traditional tools like hand-thrown harpoons made hunting large species like the blue whale impractical. However, the development of steam-powered vessels and explosive harpoons in the 19th century turned whaling into a global industrial enterprise. These innovations made it easier to target the largest whales, and the blue whales became a prime target due to their enormous size and the valuable oil they yield. The oil extracted from the blue whale was used for various purposes, including lighting lamps, lubricating machinery, and making margarine. Yeah, margarine was made from whale oil. Baleen, the plates in its mouth, in the whale's mouth, was used to make corsets and umbrellas. Those fueled a demand in that saw tens of thousands of blue whales each year. They're killed. This makes me upset, but it's history. By the 1930s, the blue whales were being hunted at unsustainable rates, with over 30,000 killed in a single season. This relentless exploitation devastated their populations, pushing them to the brink of extinction, which we all know. Today, it's outlawed, as we all know, as I mentioned before. It's protected with international treaties, and it's a lot. So let's talk about the modern threats, our old friend climate change, and everyone else. Let's break down these challenges for the modern threats of the blue whale. Let's start with ship strikes. The increase in global shipping traffic had turned the ocean into a dangerous highway. It has turned it into a dangerous highway, sorry. It has turned into a dangerous highway for the blue whales. These massive creatures often travel near the surface, where they are vulnerable to collisions with larger vessels. Ship strikes are the leading cause of injury and death among blue whales. Unlike smaller marine animals, blue whales cannot easily maneuver quickly out of the way on an oncoming ship due to their immense size. The injuries caused by ship strikes are often fatal, ranging from broken bones to internal hemorrhaging. Efforts to mitigate these risks include implementing speed restrictions in areas where blue whales are known to migrate and using technology to detect their presence near shipping lanes. Next is the issue of entanglement in fishing gear. Blue whales can become caught in fishing nets and lines and other gears used by commercial fishers. These entanglements can cause severe injuries, limit their ability to swim, and make feeding difficult. In many cases, whales that are entangled in fishing gear die from exhaustion or starvation. Organizations worldwide are working to address this issue by developing whale-safe fishing gear and promoting responsible fishing practices. And then there's our old friend, climate change, one we all know too well. Rising ocean temperatures affect the distribution and abundance of krill. Krill is the blue whale's primary food source. Krill populations thrive in cold, nutrient-rich waters, and as these waters warm, krill are forced to migrate to different regions and or face population declines. For blue whales, this means traveling greater distances to find enough food, which can impact their energy reserves, reproduction rates, and overall health. But that's not all. There's also one more I think I forgot to mention, which is actually something I think I've mentioned in the podcast before. It's noise pollution. From ships, underwater drilling, and military sonar, it all disrupts the blue whales' communication by making it harder for them to find mates or navigate in their environment. Blue whales rely on low-frequency calls, as I've mentioned and I've played, to communicate over vast distances. These calls are essential for social interactions, navigations, and mating. I've already mentioned this. However, the increase in human generated noise in the ocean has created a huge bundle. Like, it's a huge racket. Like, it creates such a racket in the ocean that it masks these calls, like these whales' calls. Imagine trying to have a conversation in your room, for example, but your speakers are fully blaring out. I want to show you what it's like for the whale. Give me a second. All right, okay, I'm about to play some really loud noise, so you guys are gonna want to turn down turn down whatever you're listening to. Look for your earphones, speakers, turn it down, because I'm going to show you what it's like for the whale in the ocean right now. And I'm going to speak from the mic afterwards, right? 3, 2, 1. Yeah, imagine talking like this. Like, it's so loud. Like, imagine, like trying to have a conversation. This is what it's like for the whale. I don't know if you guys could have heard me for that, but imagine actually having a conversation just through that alone. And that was construction noise I had from a previous podcast I wanted to do, but I deleted that. But yeah, that's actual construction noise. Imagine those regular calls. That's so bad for you guys. I bet that was so bad. I apologize, but that I just wanted you guys to understand the complication of what the whales are facing. So without those calls, and you can't hear them. They can't hear them when all these other noises are going on. And it's so hard for them. So it was hard on you, I bet. You could barely hear me, I bet. So yeah, this is what life is like for the whales because of us. Okay, let's get into the conservation efforts, guys. All right, despite these challenges, efforts are made to protect the whales, blue whales, and has seen some success. The International Whaling Commission, I told you, the 1966 Moratorium of uncommercial whaling marked the turning point for the species. And since then, various organizations and governments have been working to implement measures aimed at their recovery. Marine Protected Areas, MPAs for short, have been established in critical habitats to provide safe spaces for feeding and breeding. Additionally, international agreements like the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act offer legal protection to blue whales and their habitats. In recent years, technological investments have played a significant role in conservation. Satellite tagging allowed researchers to track movement of blue whales in real time, providing them valuable data on their migration routes and behavior. Acoustic monitoring systems help identify areas with high levels of whale activity, enabling authorities to enforce speed restrictions and reroute shipping lanes. These initiatives not only protect blue whales, but also raise public awareness about their plight. But conservation is not just about protecting blue whales. It's about understanding the role of the ecosystem and everything. The broader issue of the marine threats. I've told you all about this already. I don't know why I repeated it. I'm so sorry. But I told you there's a glimmer of hope for the whales and everything. I will tell you some success stories I think I have written down here. I do want to go in a little bit more on, I have more details on the marine protected areas, adjusting shipping lanes, the role of the whaling, the ICWC, in this, and I have the success stories as well, but I think I'm gonna see. Let me see how much time I have to record. Oh, yeah, I think I'm gonna go ahead and do it. All right, so let's go with the marine protected areas. Like, this is one of the most impactful measures for safeguarding the blue whale, as, like, these regions carefully mapped out by conservation policymakers limit the human activities such as fishing, shipping, and underwater drilling in these areas. MPAs, marine protected areas, serve as sanctuaries where marine life, including blue whales, can thrive without the constant disruption of human interference. And this is, like, implemented in places like the Indian Ocean or the Eastern Pacific. They have been assigned there and have significantly reduced incidents of ship strikes and entanglements in fishing gear. For example, the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park or whatever in Australia. I don't know why I have Marine Park. It's the Great Barrier Reef in Australia has helped to protect migratory... Okay, I am right. The park has protected migratory paths for a variety of marine species, including blue whales. Similarly, in the Southern Ocean and the Ross Sea region, and dubbed the last ocean due to its pristine condition, has declared a protected area, giving blue whales and other marine creatures a fighting chance to recover their numbers. Now let's go to the shipping lanes. I think you guys might not understand it. So I don't know if I went into the ill-tailed bird or not. But anyway, another promising initiative is the adjustment of shipping lanes. Ship strikes remain a leading cause of mortality. Oh, I did this. Okay, this is funny because I did this exact same thing for a midterm. I mixed up mortality with morality. So, yeah, but luckily my professor was nice and he marked it as if I was talking about it. So, yeah, mortality, not morality, mortality for blue whales. But simple changes in the routes the routes the ships take can actually drastically reduce these incidences. By rerouting busy shipping lanes away from known whale habitats, countries like... the United States and us in Canada have seen a marked decline in collisions. And an example of this is, like, off the coast in California. The Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary worked with shipping companies and the U.S. Coast Guard to shift the traffic patterns. Studies have shown that the adjustments have significantly reduced the risks of whales without causing major disruptions to shipping operations. So win-win. I went into a lot of the IWCU, so I'm going to go into the success stories in the Southern Hemisphere. Perhaps the most inspiring example of the recovery comes from the Southern Hemisphere, as I said. Here, blue whale populations are showing signs of a slow but steady comeback. In the waters surrounding Chile and Argentina, researchers have reported an increase in sightings, a testament to the effectiveness of conservation measures. The South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands, remote territories in the southern Atlantic Ocean, have become hotspots for blue whale activity. Scientists attribute this resurgence to the region's designation as a marine protected area and the decline in krill fishing, which has allowed blue whales to find abundant food supply. In addition to these protective measures, increased awareness and funding for research have played a critical role. Advances in satellite tracking and acoustic monitoring have enabled scientists to better understand migration patterns and identify key feeding grounds, ensuring that conservation efforts are precisely targeted. So, I want to talk about the role of technology in conservation. Like, we all know that technology is revolutionizing, it's growing as much as, like we've invented so much, like drones from drones to artificial intelligence or AI. These, improvements have actually helped us to protect the blue whales. Modern tools are helping scientists and conservationists tackle these challenges through the creature's face. So one of them is acoustic monitoring, like I've mentioned it, like, slightly. So our underwater microphones or hydrophones are used to record the songs and calls of blue whales. By analyzing these recordings, researchers can track the whale movements. Another one is satellite tracking. Tagging whales with satellite trackers provide invaluable data on migrating routes, migration routes, feeding areas, and interactions with human activities. This information helps conservationists to design more effective protective measures, such as adjusting shipping lanes and identifying new areas for MPAs. And we've come to AI and the big data. Artificial intelligence and the machine learning algorithms are being used to analyze vast amounts of data collected from the acoustic monitoring, monitors, satellite trackers, and other sources. These technologies can identify the patterns and predict future movements, making it easier to preempt potential threats. And we all know, like, everything that's going on, like, there's a lot of, like, raising awareness for the blue whales. We can talk about documentaries, books, and social media campaigns. These are examples of like, things that have played a significant role in raising awareness about the plight of the blue whales. For example, films like Blue Planet 2, for example, like, or Racing Extinction have, like, brought the beauty and fragility of the marine life to millions of viewers, inspiring action and support for conservation efforts. This is, like, the power of our social media. Like social media platforms have become powerful tools for advocacy, conservationists, conservation organizations, and activists use the platforms like Instagram and Twitter to share stunning educational content and updates on conservation efforts. Hashtags like the Save the Whales and the Blue Whale Conservation connect the globe, a community of people passionate about protecting these majestic creatures. Well, the blue whale conservation is a global endeavor that requires a collaboration across borders. Organizations such as the World Wildlife Fund or Ocean I cannot pronounce anything for the life of me. I am so sorry. I forgot. The Whale and Dolphin Conservation, WDC, worked with governments, scientists, and local communities to implement comprehensive conservation strategies. One noteworthy initiative is the South Ocean Research Partnership, a collaboration among several countries to study whale populations in the Southern Hemisphere. By pooling resources and expertise, SROP has been able to conduct large-scale research projects that would be impossible for individual nations to undertake. So, we have a long road ahead. Like there's a lot of, like, changes, like, in the public attitude too. Like it's shifted dramatically for the decades. Once seen as just some, like, resource to exploit, like, whales are now celebrated as icons of the natural world, and, like, the culture shift has been instrumental. Like, I would say, like, education programs are starting, like, in schools, like, you've been, like, taught, like, about, like, all these nature animals. And I think there's even, like, a World Whale Day that also happens. It's, like, really cool. So, I think we've reached that point in the segment on what can you do? Like, what can you do to help the blue whales? I guess here is an idea. Here's, like, I have three. Support conservation groups. Organizations, like work tirelessly to protect marine life. Donations or volunteering can go a long way. Number two would be reduce plastic use. Plastic pollution harms the ocean ecosystem. Cutting down on single-use plastics helps create a healthier ocean for all marine life. And number three is, of course, spread awareness. Share what you learned about blue whales. The more people who care, the stronger the push for change. I am very sorry, guys. There's no fun facts today. Well, It was fun talking to you guys. And as I'm recording this on the day of, I would say, this is the week before like our whole semester is ending. And I just want to say it was fun talking to you guys this semester. And I hope if you guys are listening, and I hope you get to listen to this recording soon, like about this. So I hope you guys are able to listen to this while you study, and it helps you keep calm. And I hope everything goes well for you guys. Yeah. Okay. What was that noise? Sorry, I was gonna say something, but I forgot. Okay. Yeah. So the Blue Whale story is one of survival against incredible odds. It's a reminder of the fragility and resilience of life on Earth. As we sail forward to save the gentle giants and ensure that they continue to grace our oceans for generations to come. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Faded Tales. If you enjoyed this journey, don't forget to tune in next Thursday. And I hope to see you again. And don't forget, you can always listen to missed episodes on Radio Laurier's website. Join me next time as we explore the plight of another endangered species. Until then, keep listening, keep learning, and keep caring. Thank you guys so much. I guess this is goodbye.